We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of No Other Pod.
What's going on, my friends, and welcome back to another episode of No Other Pod. I'm Jimmy, along with my good buddy Daniel Kuzer. Dan, what's going on, my friend?
Listen, if you guys are listening to this today, Jimmy and I don't give a shit about soccer because we're at Monday Night Raw, baby.
That's right. Kansas City, we will be seeing... What does WWE stand for? Worldwide Wrestling Entertainment.
World Wrestling Entertainment, yeah.
World Wrestling Entertainment. We're there. And you know what? Should be a good show. I'm excited. I haven't been to a WWE show since the summer of 2003. I was in eighth grade, and I got to see Mr. America, who was absolutely, most definitely not Hulk Hogan in a different disguise. And it was fun. I enjoyed it.
You're in for a treat, man. It's we try to hit it every time they come around, and occasionally they do like a house show in Topeka, which is really fun shit when they can go off script and just be kind of silly, you know?
Yeah.
But this is gonna be an experience, man.
So the draft. I've never been. I mean, I've watched a WWE draft. I've obviously never been to a WWE draft.
It's kind of uneventful, really, especially if you watch Fridays.
Yeah, nothing really happened on Friday.
It's like whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It should be fun. Didn't they just do a house show at T-Mobile in like October of last year? Did you go to that one? I was looking
at that one.
Hard for that one. That was a pretty good show. It looked like Roman Reigns actually wrestled.
He did, but he stopped the match mid-match. He picked up the microphone and goes, "I don't need to be here for y'all. All right, so you got 2 minutes to start making some noise, or I'm leaving."
Oh.
And we were like, "No, don't leave, Roman.
No, please."
And he was just like, I'm not playing around. He was so serious. And I was like, damn, dude.
I imagine it's hard in some of those house shows because the people, like, you know, he's not going to lose the championship at a house show. So, like, you're there.
No, that's the lady behind us who was so into it. And we're like, lady, relax.
He's got a 1,000-day run. He's going to lose it on a random Tuesday in Kansas City.
Right? Everyone knows there's no titles being changed in a house show unless it's at Madison Square Garden.
Right.
Everyone knows that's fair game.
Yeah.
Very fun. So this is going to be a blast, man. If you're listening to this, we are having so much fun right now.
I believe Tucker Franklin, KCSN Zone, is there too. He's going to try to find him and say hi. It'll be fun. I'm excited. So let us know if you're going to be there. If you're listening to this during the day on Monday, let us know. Get us up. So.
Give me a good time.
It should
be. Dude, there was also soccer this weekend.
Unfortunately.
And I don't know, man. Get your tablets out. Let's talk about this.
Should we get them out? We got some evidence to show. They'll let you know exactly what went wrong and why we lost.
Absolutely.
Oof, boy.
I'm going to start carrying a tablet around just to, like, prove my point. Like, you're having a little discussion with your wife, and you're like, well, if you'll see here.
It's especially good to do if you are objectively wrong.
Exactly. Exactly. Because, you know, some Twitter account who specializes in this kind of thing is going to make the decision, you know?
It's so funny. I mean, it's not funny. I laugh because otherwise I'll cry. talking about sort of where, not even that, like, this team, I don't think this is a bad team. That's the part that's frustrating. I think this is an objectively pretty good team. I'm not going to say great team. I'm not going to say championship caliber team.
Yeah.
but this is objectively a Sporting Kansas City team that should challenge for hosting a home playoff spot.
Yeah.
Realistically, they are good enough to do that. As things stand currently, we are below the playoff line, which doesn't mean anything because it's 10 games into the season. And we're
literally April 29th.
We're a hell of a lot farther along in terms of points than at this point this year than we were last year. But
yeah,
still, what is so frustrating is that if you look at where this team could be, now they never led in this Minnesota game, so
right,
we're not dropping points in the same way that we have in previous games. But if you look at where this team could be compared to where they are now, and when you see the same type of mistakes again after again after again and game after game after game, at a certain point, it's hard not to become, as a fan base, almost apathetic. And I think yeah, that is the worst place a fan base can be if you're a sports team, is apathetic. And Sporting, they're teetering there, I think, for some people.
It just, I mean, I'm not going to stop caring, right? I'm not going to abandon this team when it's almost May. Like,
right,
there's just so much soccer left. I mean, there's two whole ass competitions left,
sure,
in this season with the U.S. Open Cup and the Leagues Cup. So there's a whole lot of soccer ahead of us. It's just getting kind of, you hate to see the inconsistency, especially in a game like this.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Davis was missed a little bit. I think Caden Pierre didn't come in and really play that Jake Davis role like Jake would have. But
no,
it's to be expected. Caden Pierre hadn't stepped in there for a long time.
Right.
So I expected him to have some cobwebs. But we need to really talk about the Polito Agata experiment, if that's really going to work out. And how come we didn't score three goals, man? We only score three goals. What the hell?
Well, so this is the thing. Now, Sporting, for the last handful of games, has been outperforming their expected goals.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can take that a couple ways. You can say, well, the finishing's been incredible, and the attack has just been really good. Or you can say, well, maybe they're getting a little lucky. Maybe it's not sustainable. And you kind of wonder, you look at a game like Minnesota, and you're like, oh, well, maybe it caught up to them a little bit. Because if you look at the statistics, this is a kind of a classic Sporting Kansas City game from the last 5-6 years. Significantly one possession, 62% to 38. Shots about even, 8-8, three shots on target to five shots on target for Minnesota. But the expected goals, according to FotMob, 2.23 for Minnesota to 0.9 for Sporting Kansas City. So almost perfectly exact, a 2-1 game. Yeah. And that's what we got.
Very good.
So this is just, Sporting Kansas City is not generating the consistent chances that the advanced analytics should say lead to goals on a consistent basis at the rate that they probably need to. And
yeah,
as you said, I have, after a handful of weeks now, some questions about whether putting Polito at the 10 with Agata up at striker is as successful as maybe it looked like it might be in that first game that we tried it. It seems like maybe it's not quite working out the way that we had hoped. So,
well, and once you do something for so long, you know, people get a look at it and they're like, well, okay, we know how to shut this down. I don't know, because we are so good with Agata on the field as well. Like, he adds something to it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to like remove him from the field. I don't want to remove Allen from the field. It's
sure.
They need to figure out how to make this happen, because I do like having them both out there. I really do.
They're two very different players, and you know, maybe if it's changing from, you know, a 4-3-3 to a 4-4-2 or a 4-4-1-1 or something, there are possibilities there, because I agree they're two very different strikers. They bring different things, and Polito has now scored in each of the last couple of games. Some people might say, well, if he's scored in each of the last couple of games and they've been doing this, then why are you saying it's not working? Yes, last week against St. Louis, the goal he scored, it was a beautiful team goal. Again, this week, he was a late runner into the box, which he can do a little bit better from that number 10 position. It got deflected. He got a little lucky. But I think it leaves you open to a lot of pressure defensively, the way Allen plays. And it sort of narrows the field defensively and offensively compared to where Tommy is in the midfield, and he's just a faster player. He runs more, he covers more ground. I don't know. I just I don't want to see. It's hard because when Johnny comes back, and Johnny will come back soon and get his starting spot, somebody's got to come off the field. So the question is, who comes off the field? You either got to pull off Willie or Polito, or you got to pull off a midfielder. And so that's where it gets tricky. But I mean, it's not working as it stands now to win games.
I don't want to take anything away from Minnesota because I think they have the potential to be a pretty good team. I really do.
Yeah.
But I also don't think we are like just outside the playoff line bad. You know what I mean?
And agreed.
All those points. I mean, you can let's talk about those if then what if moments. You know, we can just woe is me. We shouldn't have given up so many points, or we'd be Supporters Shield leaders by like 5 points or whatever it would be.
Yeah.
And it's like, we can't talk like that anymore because it didn't happen. What could have been? Right. Sounds pretty freaking cool. But here's where we are. And we are literally down there, you know, 1.1 point per game.
Yeah.
That's not good enough right now. Boy, howdy. Boy, howdy. Why did I say that?
Boy, howdy.
It's just not, let me tell you.
Now, if you want to look on, this is sort of a double-edged sword, what I'm about to say, because if you want to look, and we are going to get into the game and what happened specifically and talk about next week and everything, but if you, Peter talks about, you know, where we were last year compared to where we are this year, and there's a lot of time left in the season and whatnot, and it's sort of a double-edged sword, because last year, through 10 games, we had 3 points, 0 wins, 3 draws, 7 losses, 3 points. And we ultimately ended up fighting our way back to make it into the playoffs in the sure. 8th seed, hosted that play-in round game, and that's all well and good. We have 11 points through 10 games this year. So
way better.
8 points more.
Yeah.
You had finished with 8 more points at the end of the season last year. Like, let's say, you know, the rest of the season went the way it did, and you secured 8 more points through the first 10 games of the season than you did. You would have bumped up from 44 points to 52 points. That would have been good enough for third place in the West right there with LAFC. So that's great. You can say that's a positive. We're a lot better this year. There's still time to make it up, etc. Now, the double-edged sword of that is, one, you don't ever want to get complacent and put yourself in a hole you got to dig out of again. And two, you know what we did last year after the first 10 games of the year? We went on the best points per game run in the entire league. Is it realistic to expect this team to replicate that and do that again and go on the best points per game run for the rest of the season in the entire league? That's a pretty tall order.
Well, so, if it's going to happen, you got to get started at the number one in the Western Conference, Real Salt Lake, this weekend.
Yeah, well, yeah, why not? Now, what is a bummer, so we have, 11 points through 10 games. There's 24 games left. If we want to get to, I'm just saying, cutoff line last year, it was 44 points. We and San Jose both had 44 points. That was good enough for ninth place. So you got to make 23 points over the final 24 games of the season.
If you're on this trajectory, you're not going to make it.
So
if you're going at this pace, you're done.
At this pace, we're right at that cutoff line. So
toast.
So they gotta pick it up in some way. The points per game line to host a playoff game last year was 1.5.
Yeah.
So they gotta pick it up quite a bit and hover around that 1.8 points per game range for the remainder of the season.
I think
they want a challenge for a home playoff game.
Yeah, so. I really think they will. That's kind of like a bold expert prediction there. Because this ain't it, man. What we saw last night, I was yawning, dude. I was getting sleepy. It was just like we weren't creating all that much. It was just kind of like a snooze fest. Where's that team that's been blasting 3 goals every game, you know?
It was a little bit frustrating because it seems like it is a little bit of a theme this year where in the first half of some of these games, the other team seems to have a number on us. And it takes about a half to get into it. You know, and then if we are winning, we have a habit of blowing leads. And in this case, we didn't blow a lead. We just couldn't fight back because those mistakes that we've been making in the last, you know, 15, 20 minutes of games, we decided to make in the first minute of the game this time. So at least we got it out of the way. But
it's like a cool, I gotta tell you though, cool atmosphere up there. Would love to get up there. I haven't seen their new stadium yet. New is in the last couple of years or whatever, but, looks like it's a fun time.
It does look like it's a fun time. Last time I was in Minnesota was 2017, 2018, and they were still playing at the University of Minnesota.
Yeah.
So they
and that was cool because they literally had the half acre or what brewery did they have? They had a brewery right there.
Was it Surly?
Surly. They had the Surly Brewery.
Yeah.
Within walking distance. I remember we walked over there afterwards and just had some beers. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, the fans were great when I was up there. I assume they're still great. I mean, they call it the friendliest rivalry in the league. I'm not sure this is really a rivalry.
No, I didn't.
At this point, it's just two Western Conference teams in the Midwest. So,
yep.
But yeah, I would love to get up there and see Allianz. I think it's a great stadium, and congrats to the Loons. And people have been ragging on Wonderwall, which is their song they sing at the end of the game, and you know. I do agree with the people who are like, you know, it'd be great if they sing a Prince song because he's from Minnesota. That'd be kind of fun. But I also do think it's kind of a cool thing to have your own tradition after a win. You know, we have that at Children's Mercy Park where the players come over and we all sing a When the Wiz Come Marching In together. And you know, when they're showing thousands of people singing Wonderwall together, it is kind of cool.
It's like an alma mater at a KU game or something. You know what I mean? It's part of it.
For sure. Let's go ahead and take our break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about all that went wrong in the game. We'll be right back.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Man, so who are you most excited to see today?
That's a good. So I'm not gonna lie. I was looking forward to seeing Cody Rhodes.
Yeah,
and I know you're not a big Cody guy.
You think it's not happening?
I don't think it's gonna happen. Even though he tweeted, he said he put out his April schedule and it was on there. I think he lied to us. I think he's a liar,
dude. He might not, just because he's not on the show doesn't mean he's not gonna like wrestle a match beforehand just to like have an appearance. They do that shit.
So
I saw John Cena wrestle at a Monday Night Raw dark match. He wasn't on the show.
So if he does appear, I think it's going to be a dark match appearance, which I guess CM Punk did on Friday for SmackDown because everybody was mad watching on TV. They're like, they said CM Punk's going to be there and he's not going to be there. And he came out and he cut a promo after the show ended. So
Cody might do that.
WWE hasn't promoted themselves that Cody's going to be at Raw. They've said Logan Paul's going to be there and he's a SmackDown superstar.
Just wait, dude. My buddy that's coming with us hates Logan Paul. Like, would probably like him to die. And I'm like, he's up, buddy. The man just hates him so bad.
I am excited to see Jey Uso. I'm all about main event Jey Uso.
I'm a big geek. Absolutely.
He's got a fire entrance song that I'm all excited for. I'm excited to see Pat McAfee up on there do it. Yeah. It'll be fun. And you know, I started getting into wrestling really around pandemic time because I had nothing else to do again. And Drew McIntyre was champion for much of that time. So I'm excited to see Drew McIntyre, hopefully.
Sure.
Be fun.
I was a big Seth Rollins guy forever, but I know he's injured right now, so
yeah.
I don't really know. I'm just excited to go.
Should be fun. My first one since 2003, so it'll be a good time. I'm excited.
You're a whole different person now, man.
No expectations. I mean, I got time, so I'll be watching the shows every week, and I'm texting you, you know, seeing all the tweets and everything. So
I know we send each other like wrestling news now. Instead of like soccer news.
You're like, that's not a trustworthy source. Don't worry about it.
None
of it is. It's wrestling.
What'd you say? You said one time, you're like, oh man, did I get clickbaited? Or you're like, did I get duped? I was like, there's some of that shit out there that people do not matter. It's like, do not listen to that stupid blog.
It's pretty fun. Let's get into this game a little.
You know what else is fun? Getting scored on in 60 seconds. Real fun. Real fun.
Lineup-wise, not a whole lot to talk about other than Caden Pierre made his first appearance for Sporting Kansas City's first start in a long time.
More than capable. Fast man, fast legs.
He is. He's been battling through some injuries. He's been making some SKC2 appearances. The reason he was starting this game is because Jake Davis got a suspension for yellow card accumulation, so he was not available, and we don't really have another right back. We got Leibold on the left side. We got Zoran Bassong on the left side, as we saw later in the game. Kyrie Shelton is capable of playing some right back, but he was also coming back from an injury. It would have been quite a tall order to ask him to come and start at the right back position. So when you saw Pierre, were you excited? Were you nervous? What were you thinking?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's you knew. We already knew ahead of time that was going to be the guy, right? Yeah. There was no surprise there.
Yeah.
But it's like, here's what's funny to me. Like, if you're a player and you have a game, you know, you probably, you know, they always say, we're taking one game at a time. It's like, shut the hell up. You have your eyes on other games. I know you do. Jake Davis gave us all those stock answers about taking it one day at a time.
They do. But their media training must be good.
Very good. But if he's in a game, he knows next week, like they're traveling. It's like, next week I'm traveling to Minnesota, right? It just is what it is. One little bit of yellow card in a game, and all of a sudden his travel plans are nixed. And as someone who's very, I'm a little autistic, I'm a little ADHD, a little OCD, that would F with me so hard. I'd be like, so I'm just not going to Minnesota next weekend? What am I going to do?
Yeah.
It's weird, right?
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, part of me, if I were in that situation, I'd be like, well, I got nothing to lose now, except that's not quite true, because you don't want to get a second yellow card and then get a red card and then it gets worse and all that.
Exactly.
But, you know, yeah, it is a little frustrating probably to have a specific plan in place and then to have it taken away from you. Although, honestly, if you're a fullback, if you're a defender, really, if you're any position probably in the midfield or the back line, more than likely at some point throughout the season, you're going to get a yellow card accumulation suspension, because it triggers after, what, 5 yellow cards?
Yeah.
So it's going to happen at some point.
I'm a bit of a wild card in the sense that if I know that my yellow just picked me up a suspension, I'm probably going to go get a red card in the 94th minute. Just in the 94th. Like, I'm going to slap someone in the face.
I'm just going to walk up and just hit him.
Just boom. Oh, did I do that? A hand to the face? Oh, I guess I got to miss the next game. Damn.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a bummer. But you're right. We knew it. I mean, I guess the only question was, you know, would they do something weird with, you know, a back three and wing backs? Or would they put Zoran Bassong and Leibold in there? I mean, but more than likely, we expected Caden Pierre. So
typical trade-off there.
It was good to see him in there. Peter
fell down a couple times. He fell down, went boom.
Well, a lot of people fell down. Field seems slippery.
True. Johnny slipped at a weird moment, too. It was very weird.
Yeah. Peter thought Caden played fine. I thought he left some things to be desired. And I don't say that to like be too hard on him. It's his first game back, and Minnesota's a decent team. They got Pookie and Fragapane on that side. I might be saying his name wrong. Don't come at me if I am.
That sounds like a cute pet name you've given him, though.
It sounds like an item in a bakery. But it reminds me of marzipan, except it's Fragapane. I don't know. but it, you know, it was a big ask for him, but he just seemed like he wasn't quite ready. He wasn't in the right position at times, and he let people go a little bit too easily. So, I mean, it is what it is. But I mean, we got put in a hole immediately because they got a corner kick right off the bat. And anytime a team against Sporting Kansas City gets a corner kick, it gets a little scary. They send the corner kick in, it gets flicked on from the far side. And then, I'm not sure who it is. Oh, it's Boxall. Nemanja Radia is supposed to be guarding Michael Boxall. And I'm not really sure what happens with Radia. He just kind of lets Boxall get by him. And then he just stands behind him the entire time, doesn't ever win back position. And Boxall has a free tap in 2 feet in front of the goal. And at that point, there's nothing Radia can do. But he just simply got boxed out by Boxall, no pun intended.
He did, man. It sucks. It sucks that that's clearly on video. And you're like, okay, we see who blew their assignment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that'll get brought up in training. And you don't have to tell him twice because Radia's face clearly said everything.
Right.
He knew he messed up.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I don't know if he got a little complacent when he saw the ball go short. But, I mean, really what happens, and if you look at where Boxall lined up initially, he's near the top of the box. And essentially all he does is he just almost swim moves past Radia, and then that's it. And Radia just, he got complacent, I think, before the kick was taken. And you get complacent for 2 seconds, and they take advantage of it, and then that's it. And you know, Melia was understandably pissed. Now you're a minute into the game. You've given up another set-piece goal, which has been a problem that Melia has talked about this year. And now you're down on the road with 89 minutes to go. Good news is you got time to come back. Bad news is you know they're going to keep pushing for a goal, and it just sucks.
That was good news, though. Right away, I you know, you kind of shake your head, but you're like, cool, there's 89 more minutes. Let's go.
Well, yeah, and this team last week was down a goal, and they were able to come back and should have won against St. Louis City. So it's not like this team can't come back from being down. And, you know, they had a chance moments later. You know, in the 7th minute, Tim Leibold sends a delicious ball into the box to Willy Agata. And this should have been leveled 1-1. Willy Agata touches the ball perfectly to himself right at the penalty spot. He's essentially taking a penalty kick. And maybe that's the problem. It was Willy Agata shooting the ball from the penalty spot, because as we've seen this year, that does not go well. He does not even get this one on frame. He tries to go high for some reason, and he goes over the bar. He doesn't go right. He doesn't go left. This should have been 1-1.
Should have been. I just feel like sometimes maybe he gets too excited about things. It's just weird, man. I trust the guy, and he's got really good decisions, but also his passing leaves a little something out there, too. His passing's not always great.
Leaves a little bit to be desired. I mean, that's where Polito definitely has the advantage over Willy is in passing the ball.
Feel good.
Willy is a little bit more of a goal poacher. He tends to be, you know, right place, right time. And this is the type of ball that you would expect him to finish.
Yeah.
And he's one-on-one with Dane St. Clair. I mean, you got to finish it. But
yeah,
it is what
too bad, man. It's too bad. I just, this game was there, and we had moments. It was just, I don't know. I'm kind of getting mad now.
Well, throughout the entire first half, it seemed like Minnesota was the team that was really the aggressor. In the 25th minute, Caden Pierre gets left out of sorts. And he just has a guy run right by him. And then this is the play that Peter Ramiz ultimately got mad about. That was the goal. A ball is played across the face of goal. And then Minnesota's there to tap it in. Everybody looks on Sporting Kansas City to the AR, and they're all holding up their arm calling for the offside flag. They did have VAR take a look at this. There was no signal for review. So the only I'm going to mess up his name. The goal is from Oluwaseyi. He's the one who ultimately tapped it in. If you watch it, and this is kind of what I said live, is he offside? Maybe. It's very close. But there was simply no angle to be able to overturn this. The angle that they kept showing on the broadcast makes it look worse than it is because of sort of an optical illusion, the ball being farther away, etc. And like you said, if you go to Twitter, Offside Modeling is an account that does their best to try to use math to model whether a ball was offside or not. And they did their thing, and they came to the conclusion that it was onside by 1 inch, which this is a rough estimation. So essentially, it's even, and there's not a chance in hell they could have overturned that with the angle they had. So not much that can be done there.
It's tough, dude. It's, you know, it's fun because every 5 yards, the grass is like a different color, right? It's like light green, dark green, and it alternates. And it's like those are almost like yard lines in football or whatever. I was like, they need to put like hash marks on there or something so you can really see how far offside someone is. But it looked like it to me at first, but this offside modeling said no. But Peter Vermees had evidence, bro. He had it pulled up for you media people, and he cooked you on the presser with that.
He did. He pulled up the iPad and he held it up to the screen so you could see it. From, you know, I don't have anything here, but he held it up front and center. But this is where, I mean, it was right after the game. He was a little emotional. Maybe he misspoke, trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Was that the first question when he pulled it up? It was right away, wasn't it?
It was right away because Daniel Sperry asked, you know, how did he feel the team responded after falling down 2-0 in the first half? And his response
shouldn't have been 2-0.
The game shouldn't have been 2-0 to begin with. It should have only been 1-0. And then he gets the iPad and he goes, if you look where Danny Rosero is and where the player is, there is no way VAR should have missed that. It's completely unacceptable. That is a missed play. It's so easy to see. So it should be 1-0 at this point. Now, when I say I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, I don't know what he's really talking about because the ball is beyond Danny Rosero. So yes, Oluwaseyi is beyond Danny Rosero. That does not matter because the Minnesota player who has the ball is also beyond Danny Rosero. So all Oluwaseyi has to be is behind where the ball is at the time of the first contact of the pass. And that's where I'm looking at this, and it looks bad because of the angle, something called parallax effect, if you really want to talk about mathematics. I didn't think that it looked like it was offside necessarily because of what I assumed offside modeling would do. And then, yeah, it looked like it was essentially even. I am not at all surprised they did not signal this for further review. So,
Google's parallax effect. sometimes people say shit and I'm just like privately Googling.
It's interesting to me that Peter chose that as the hill to die on. And now it's become a meme where people out there, including us, have memed this. It's a good meme.
Yeah, I thought that was a fun one.
Yeah.
Congrats on that one.
Had to take advantage of it. Somehow I was bored and mad, so.
Well, why not? That was a great Kansas City soccer game this weekend.
Yeah.
You stay up for that one?
Of course I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, Claire Laboge getting the brace. C'est magnifique.
What a time.
Yeah, it was, the Current are a fun team, man. And if you want to watch a team that scores goals and wins, watch the Kansas City Current. Just
hell yeah.
Talk about it here every week and currently with you and Chris, so.
Absolutely.
It's a good time. But I don't know. It's just interesting that Peter chose that hill to die on. Sporting did pull one back, about 10 minutes later. Rada got messed up earlier in the game, and he has a very good ball here to Daniel Shallowy in the 37th minute. Daniel Shallowy cuts it back to Alan Pulido, who's a late runner into the box, gets deflected. It goes into the back of the net. It's 2-1. So you're thinking, great, this is where we were last week, 2-1 at the half. You got 45 minutes, make some adjustments. Maybe you come out, you earn a point. And I will say, I thought Sporting Kansas City actually looked better in the second half. I thought they looked like they had opportunities in the second half. They just couldn't find the back of the net. But this is what happens when you put yourself in a hole too early in the game. You suddenly have to dig yourself out. And in soccer, sometimes it's very difficult to dig yourself out of a hole, especially if it's on the road.
For sure. I don't want to say we played bad, man, because there were times when we were sending through balls like crazy and Daniel was getting on top of them, and it was we were moving. It's just
Daniel,
it didn't work out.
A lot of people are unhappy with Daniel. He's not
because they want him to score.
They want him to score. Yeah. And you know, he took the number 10 jersey this year, and with that comes expectations. That's a big number in soccer historically.
That sucks because it's just a stupid number. And it's like he didn't want it to say that he's the number 10, the creative midfielder, because he's not the creative midfielder.
Sure. Right. It doesn't mean that he's the 10 per se in terms of like field. But, you know, it's sort of like in football when a player asks for number one and they're a wide receiver. Like historically, if you're wearing number one and you're a wide receiver, you're usually pretty good where you should be. Like it's kind of like a showy number. I feel like if you're wearing the number 10, in soccer, there's an expectation that comes with that jersey that you're going to be a key contributor in the attack.
I hate this. So what's it mean that I wore number 70 in football, that I'm just a big beefcake that blocks?
I was 77. I was right there with you. I was 77. I had a neck roll.
You had a neck roll?
I had a neck roll and a full cage.
You had it. Okay. Wow. I didn't even wear gloves because I wanted to feel my enemy.
Oh, see. No, I was full cage, neck roll, gloves, and elbow pads.
You did elbow pads. Wow. Look, I wanted the bruises so I could show the ladies and say, hey, look at my forearm bruises.
I mean, I wasn't good per se at football.
No.
But I looked like I was good at football.
It's all about optics, man. I was a JV all-star. Okay. I didn't get a lot of varsity time, but JV, look out. I was crushing people.
You see me, and I was not a small dude. I'm not a small dude now, but I was not a small dude in high school. You see me run out there pushing 377 neck roll, full cage, elbow pads, and glove. Like, they were like, that's the dude. And then
as a player.
And then I stayed on the bench the whole time. But, but I looked it. So
nice, all that works.
I don't know, man. I mean, Rosero had a chance in the 78th minute on a set piece, but he just headed it right at Dane St. Clair.
Right at him. Man, that sucked.
Yeah, it was a good header. Rosero is a fantastic set piece weapon.
Yep, he really is.
He's real good. And you know, like we said, Sporting KC had some chances throughout. Daniel had a chance in the 79th minute that he'd like back if he could. He just pulled it way to the right. So, you know, where Peter is correct in his post-game comments is that Sporting Kansas City did create chances. They did have opportunities to go out there and score. It's just they couldn't put it away. Ultimately, the game ends 2-1, and that's that. Now, what is interesting is Peter Vermees was asked by Chad Smith of the KC Soccer Journal after the game. He goes, you've often said, through 10 matches, that's what it takes to find out what we have in a team. So it's been 10 matches. What's your answer? And Peter says, I think we've given up points where we were in very good position to get points, which is true. He goes, sometimes it's a bounce here or there, but I really like our ability to attack for the most part. I like the way we defend a lot of situations. So we're getting better there. I think we still have to work on closing out games. And I would say that some calls have been really poor over the 10 games that have gone against us. You can take the first game at home and start there and then go down the list. Sometimes that will take points away as well. But I think we've got a good group that's shown they can attack. He goes on from there, saying it's a good group and a dangerous group. But what's your reaction to him? It seems like he's kind of blaming the officiating for a lot of the reasons that Sporting are losing games.
That's crap. I think we have to take accountability because some of the officiating was like, oh, they did a quick restart while we were complaining to the refs. Just don't complain to the refs. Just get back in the game and go. Yeah. Or we're getting trucked by Joao Klaus. And it's like, okay, get in the weight room. Like, get strong, and that won't happen. You know, push, get strong back.
Right.
So we're doing a lot of this to ourselves, man. Calls, whatever. Every other team's getting bad calls, too. This isn't like everyone's out to get us. It's not true.
Right.
It's shit worldwide.
Well, and he's said this a couple times now. He goes, I like the way we defend a lot of situations. We're getting better there. I would like to know what he means when he says we're getting better there, because each of the last 4 or 5 games, we're objectively not getting better there. We're giving up dumb goals in the same ways that we've been giving them up. So it's not like I don't see it getting better. I don't see it getting worse. I see it staying the same, and I don't like where it is. So sometimes I think Peter puts on some rose-colored glasses. Now, what is interesting, and I noticed this right before we started recording, is if you look at the way Peter analyzed the game and how they played, and by and large, he goes, I think we actually played pretty good. It was a good reaction from the group being down 2 goals. We kept our heads in it. We didn't lose ourselves. I thought we made our adjustments at the half. We had our chances, blah, blah, blah. And then you look at how Minnesota United's head coach talked about the game after Eric Ramsey, who hasn't even been with Minnesota the entire season. He came over from Manchester United after the season had already started. And he, according to Brian Korstad, who is a soccer reporter, said that Eric Ramsey was dissatisfied with his team's execution of tactics, forcing him into numerous tactical and personnel changes. So he was unhappy with how the team played, even though they had a 2-1 win. And I just think it's an interesting juxtaposition. The winning coach looking at the game going, we didn't actually play how I wanted us to. We had to change it up, and I'm upset about it because we should have been better, even though they won. And then you have the losing coach. And I feel like where a lot of the frustration from Sporting fans over recent weeks comes is we're not getting the results we should. And they keep hearing Vermees talk about, well, we played well, and pointing the things that are outside of our control, whether it be officiating or whatnot, as to the reason for why we're dropping points. And I'm not saying that's not totally without merit, but when you hear it week after week after week, I think it does get tiring for the fans to be like, okay, well, then this is just what it is then, and nothing's going to change. And I understand why that's frustrating.
Yeah, 100%.
In terms of our holiday distillery toast of the match, there weren't a lot of stellar performances on the field this week. There was one performance that stood out particularly well to me. There was an unsung hero of the match that nobody expected to have to step in into the line of duty. And when it was called upon, it performed its job admirably and well. I would like to nominate Peter Vermees Tablet for the holiday distillery toast of the match.
All right.
So that's what I'm going to say. Mr. Tablet, we did not expect to see you tonight in the team sheet. We did not expect to see you in the postgame presser, but we saw you. You did a good job. You did well.
I hear you saying it. It's they, them pronouns, okay, for the tablet. Let's just keep it simple here.
Congratulations to you, Tablet. I have a little bit of the Sorrento Lemon 360 Vodka here in my mango ginger seltzer.
You were going to say in my mouth.
Well, that didn't.
Look at him. And Jimmy's drunk. What have you done?
Well, I don't know, man.
We're going to Salt Lake this weekend.
I am literally going to Salt Lake this weekend.
Yeah, are you going to the game?
I will be at the game. I have to be in Salt Lake City for a work conference, and it just so happened to work out that I looked at the Sporting Kansas City schedule, and wouldn't you know it, Sporting Kansas City are playing in Salt Lake City this week, so I will be on the ground at the game.
Are you media, or you got tickets, or what?
I think I'm going to go just as a fan this time. I haven't bought a ticket yet.
Oh, okay.
I did this last time I went to Minnesota, too. I kind of waited until the night before that morning, saw what was available in the secondary market. Been keeping an eye on the tickets. They're not terrible. I've never been to Salt Lake for a soccer game, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I've never been to Salt Lake, I don't think. They have the second best goal differential in the league, mm-hmm. right behind Miami. Mm-hmm. So they know how to score. They know how to defend. It's going to be this will not be easy, my friend. They lead the Western Conference right now. Well, tied with the Galaxy up there on 18 points. So
they do. And they just beat Philadelphia on the road thanks to an 89th-minute game winner. So
yeah, they can win. They know how to win. They've won two at home. So, I mean, I don't know what needs to happen here, man. But you can't have that performance like you did against Minnesota.
Tell me if this sounds familiar, because Philadelphia did what I call a classic Sporting Kansas City. Philadelphia, they split possession about 50-50, but Philadelphia outshot RSL 15-9. They outshot them on goal 9-4. They blocked more shots, etc. If you look at the expected goals, Philadelphia had 2 expected goals. RSL had 0.5. And yet, Philadelphia gave up a goal in the 89th minute. RSL wins 2-1. Philadelphia pulled a classic Sporting Kansas City. And that's what scares me about now going on the road to Salt Lake is, like you said, they can score goals. They have a good defense. This is not going to be an easy game. This is one of those classic games where if we go in there and we get out of there with a single point, that's a good result. It's going to be, you never know what's going to happen in MLS. I'm not ruling out the possibility that we can't go in there and get a dominant win. Anything's possible. But against the first place team in the West on the road where they allow very few goals, the fewest goals in the entire Western Conference, and they're among the top scorers in the Western Conference. This is a game where if you can get a draw, I think that should be considered a very good result.
You have Jake Davis back in the mix on rested legs.
So we're helping
that. It's going to be a fun one, man. 8:30 on Saturday.
It's possible we see Johnny Russell a little bit sooner. I don't know if he'll start or not, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised necessarily.
You mentioned how neat it was to see Kyrie Shelton at the end. He kind of added a little spark. You could see that beast possession that we saw him come in and do. But it was, I don't know. I like that he's an option, right?
And I'm happy for Kyrie. People still are truly terrible to Kyrie online. Yeah, I mean, there have been some people even in my, because I kind of made a joke. I was like, Kyrie Shelton's coming in it, and I'm sure people are going to be totally normal and chill about it. And some of the replies that I got were just like, honestly, abhorrent.
What was that?
And I'm like, just
mean.
like truly mean. And people are tagging him, and I don't really want to be associated with that.
Really?
He's a person, man. Like, this is an actual real life person who is a genuinely good dude. And so regardless of what you think about his performance on the field, there's no need to just be tagging him and being genuinely mean to him. I'm not about that. We're not about that. There's a time and place for criticism of a performance on the field, but Kyrie's a good dude, and the hate that he gets is vastly disproportional to anything that's deserved. So
he came in for right back, right?
Yeah, he came in for Caden Pierre for like the last 15, 20 minutes.
Gotcha.
So it's just very frustrating to see the amount of hate that he gets. You know, is right back is not his natural position. It's not his fault, you know, the way things have gone necessarily. Is he the best soccer player in the world? No, but if a team offered me a contract with the salary that he gets, then yeah, I'm going to sign it too. So if you're mad at somebody, you can be mad about the front office for the roster construction if you don't think that that's a good deal. But don't direct your hate toward a person, and certainly don't tag him and send personal insults. That's not cool. So
see that I was looking up your stuff right now, and someone absolutely tagged him, which is crazy. And then looks like you got some porn on there.
Elon's been wild.
Listen, you guys, these porn bots are crazy. You can't do anything without some topless woman being like, link in bio. And you're like,
I've had to change so many settings in my Twitter account because I'm just sitting there trying to mind my own business. And then all of a sudden in my mentions, there's something. And I'm like, I don't want that here because now I look like a creep when I just have random bots in my mentions.
Told me you were at Sporting and like something popped up and you were in the press box and you were like, people are like behind you and you're like, people think I'm just looking at porn.
I don't know if anybody saw or not, but I was truly mortified. Like, because the bots are getting worse, and you never know. And like, I like to engage with people during the game, and like, man, it ruined my night because I was
bad. I'm almost desensitized to it where I'm just like, this, oh, more boobs.
it's
not even shocking.
It's not great for people in like professional environments or press boxes or whatever when you're sitting there trying to engage with people. And then I've changed all sorts of settings where now things are getting filtered out that probably shouldn't get filtered out. So if I miss a reply from you, it's not because I'm ignoring you. It's just because I've had to set things so strictly so this stuff doesn't pop up in a bad situation.
Listen, this lady was just like, Kyrie Shelton, you say? Flash his chest. I'm a big fan, boob.
So, anyway, be nice to Kyrie. Or at least don't be a dick.
Man.
There's that.
Highlights of my life, by the way. This is when I interviewed him one-on-one.
He's such a good dude. I really like fun. Kyrie. Outside of the game next week, I did want to highlight this. This happened a few days ago, probably 5 or 6 days ago at this point. Taylor Twellman had an interesting tweet regarding Sporting Kansas City because it was Mike Kuhn pointed out that Sporting KC's biggest quote-unquote signing this offseason was Memo Rodriguez. And then Taylor Twellman replied, and he said two words, summer, period, watch. Which, that made me wonder, does Taylor know something about...
Would he know anything?
I mean, he's connected.
Well, okay, what? To us?
To soccer in general. He just... It would be weird to me for Taylor Twellman to go out of his way if he didn't actually know of something in the works to be like, hey, watch this in the summer. It just felt like
they will. Like, they inevitably will.
Could be. But to me, it read like maybe Taylor Twellman knows Sporting and somebody are working on something. Because the European calendar ends in May after the season's end. So the summer is their off season, so maybe he knows Sporting have been in contact with somebody in particular over on a European team, and after that's done, they'll come over. It's probably Kylian Mbappe. I'm just going to say it. He's probably coming over.
It's probably Griezmann or some shit, man.
And so, if Antoine Griezmann came over, that'd be sick as hell.
That's been leaked too before, or, you know, teased with Mahomes meeting him when they went over there to play and shit.
He does love Mahomes. It's probably not Griezmann. It's definitely not Kylian Mbappe. I'm 100% kidding there. But,
Luka Modric or some shit.
Johnny Russell did come over from a European team in the summer. Or was it the summer? It might have been a winter signing. I don't remember. But I think it was a winter signing now that I think about it. But players have come over from European teams and been successful before.
Fontas came from Barcelona. Ilie came from Barca B. So maybe that Barca B pipeline is still in effect, and Sporting Kansas City can get somebody in the summer coming over from Europe. We'll see. I don't know. But it's watch this space. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So could be. Were there any other games or anything from this week that sort of caught your eye? I know Miami continued to run through people, and Lionel Messi had a brace and was setting more records, and it's stupid what he's doing to this league at this point. But is there anything else that sort of caught your eye that you want to talk about this week?
Columbus took care of business against Monterrey, and they now have a one-goal lead in the semifinals of the CONCACAF Champions Cup.
They have to go down to Monterrey and defend a one-goal lead. That one goal, if they were going down there and they had won 2-0, it would have been huge. They did let Monterrey score one, but
if they go down there and lose 1-0, they lose, don't they? Because Monterrey has that away goal.
I believe so.
So they need to go down there at least expecting to score at least one goal.
If they score at least one goal, then Monterrey has to score at least two, and then you'll go into extra time.
Extra time, yeah. Or does it go straight to penalties?
That's a good question. I honestly don't know.
They've changed it up lately to like save legs and stuff.
Yeah.
Which I get it, and I'm not, you know, everyone in extra time just plays defense. So it's like, cool, just go straight to penalties if you don't want to finish it up in 90. But Miami just trucked New England. I want to say New England did the thing that Sporting did, but they didn't. They always play at Gillette Stadium. But no one usually comes and watches them. So Messi comes to town and people showed up.
63,000 people show up.
Which is cool. It's a cool environment. But everyone who follows New England is all like, you know, just gagging over Messi here. It's ridiculous.
Well, New England's not exactly doing much on the season to give them a reason to come watch. They're truly terrible.
But as good as the Galaxy have been, Austin beat them 2-0 at home.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Austin and Seattle continue to be trash.
Yeah, San Jose is still semi-trash. I'm very interested in Seattle's little downfall here.
Are you enjoying that?
If they turn it around this summer like they usually do, but it feels different this time.
This definitely feels different. I mean, they have this. This feels like this is a reset. And honestly, I don't know if Brian Schmetzer survives it.
Yeah, true. You know who also puts on good games is when LAFC plays Portland or Seattle. It seems like those teams, you know, they're kind of right up the coast from each other. LAFC beat them 3-2.
Yes,
a little five goal thriller there. That's fun stuff.
Yep. Yeah, LAFC's good. So it's an interesting league, man. There's never a shortage of drama. And the biggest drama around the league probably happened, and it didn't even have to do with a game on the field. It was the mayor of Indianapolis, I don't know if you saw this, came out and just announced in a speech that the city of Indianapolis is pursuing an MLS expansion team, and that he flew to New York on Monday to meet with MLS Commissioner Don Garber. Now, what's interesting is there seems to be some controversy about this. It seems like not everybody on the Indianapolis City Council is totally on board with this. The city is currently developing a $1 billion mixed use facility called 11 Park that will house its USL team, the Indy 11. So now there's questions in terms of, well, what does this mean for the Indy 11? There's Indy 11 fans who are saying, we don't want to lose our club. You know, this kind of reminds me of, in a way, sort of what happened with St. Louis, because St. Louis City SC is not a continuation of St. Louis FC. That team died when St. Louis City SC came to fruition.
Yeah,
obviously St. Louis has a ton of fans and they've been relatively successful. But there are fans that are still hurt at the death of St. Louis FC. So this is interesting, and I think it'll be something worth continuing to watch, because if they expand to Indianapolis, they're going to expand further, I would think, because they'll need to add at least one more team to keep teams even. So,
yeah, I would think so.
I imagine Indianapolis would be an Eastern Conference team. San Diego is already coming in as a Western Conference team. So they probably need to add another Western Conference team. I don't know if you're looking at Vegas, if you're looking at Phoenix or Sacramento, what have you. But this league seems like it just keeps expanding.
I know. I don't know what the cap is. I don't know if they're done or obviously not done, but it's, we're just going to keep going, man, until we probably have 2-4 conferences or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, yeah, you kind of got to get rid of the East and the West. You sort of need a West and a Central and an East. Or if you expand enough, maybe even, you know, an MLS 1, MLS 2 with promotion relegation pseudo of sorts in between the two of them. But then you got to work out revenue sharing and it becomes that much more difficult. So,
exactly.
I don't know, man. But is there anything else that you want to talk about before we head off to Salt Lake for the week?
No, let's wrap it up, man. We got to get back to watching wrestling.
What I do want to say too, because we're going to be up there and not too long, is people in Nebraska did get hit hard with tornadoes that went through the Lincoln and Omaha areas, and we know one of our longtime listeners, Bob, he lives up there, and he knows some people that were affected, and so. Our thoughts are with people in Nebraska right now, and we haven't seen anything formally yet from the club or from a supporters club or whatnot in terms of being able to support those who are impacted. But if we do, we'll share it, we'll boost it. But, you know, it's exciting that we're going to be able to get up there and play against Union Omaha in a couple of weeks. But we know a lot of the people who are fans and players and staff of that club were probably impacted by some of the crazy tornadoes they got. So, thoughts are with you, and hope that the recovery goes quickly and everybody was safe.
Dude, so. It's such a scary thing that something really cracked me up. Then I saw a video I saw on TikTok that it was so morbid, but this guy who was there with tornadoes, and he goes, "Gonna be sleeping under the stars tonight." And behind him was his house just torn down. And he's like, skylight all day.
It's terrifying to me. Like, I'm not used to tornadoes.
Yeah, Did you do okay that night?
My anxiety was high. I'm not going to lie.
Oh my God, you were killing me. I was like, well, you relax, buddy. You're going to be cool.
Yeah. I mean, once they said that, you know, things stayed south of us and north of us, and we were pretty good here. But it, I don't know. Just, yeah, thoughts with all of you out there in Nebraska or Iowa, because it continued in Iowa. We know we got
there's storms, y'all. You got to check on Jimmy. He's losing it.
Just get your NOAA Weather Radio PSA. Get a NOAA Weather Radio. Have multiple ways to get alerts. Make sure you follow your local weather service on Twitter. They get great information. I'm just saying,
he's ready for the Walking Dead.
He's got all that water ready to go in your secure place where you shelter.
Yeah, good idea.
So, anyway, thank you all so much for listening. We appreciate you. Please make sure you leave us that 5-star rating and review. It helps us get found by more people, and we do appreciate it. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at NoOtherPod, at Dan Kuser, at JCMac03. Send us an email, NoOtherPod@gmail.com. Check us out on YouTube, KCSN Soccer on YouTube, or via the Kansas City Sports Network app. But until next time, he's Dan, I'm Jimmy. We'll catch y'all later. See ya.
Yeet.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all 6 of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.